want to read the entire 7th chapter to you, but it is essential to grasp a main lesson in chapter 7 that I read you, a particular verse in chapter 6. Last week, we saw how Jericho was taken and how Rahab and all those that belonged to her were preserved. And in chapter 6, I want us to read verse 17. And the city shall be devoted, even it and all that is therein, to the Lord. You have a term, devoted to destruction, or accursed. So when you read the words accursed or devoted, it means devoted to destruction. And the city shall be devoted, even it and all that is therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. But as for you, only keep yourselves from the devoted thing, this accursed thing, lest when you have devoted it, you take of the devoted thing. So would ye make the camp of Israel accursed and troubled. Listen again to the warning of God. The city in its entirety, except for Rahab and those belonging to her, were accursed, devoted to destruction. And it says, take heed that you keep yourselves from the devoted thing, lest when you have devoted it, you take of the devoted thing, so would you make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. So, there's no doubt as to what warning God gave about the destruction of Jericho. Now, let me in chapter 7 read you 26 verses. See if your attention span is that long. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the devoted thing. For Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the devoted thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. It's really Ai, but we're going to call it Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and spy out the land. It's to look it over, but in the sense of spying it out. And the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. Make not all the people to toil thither, for they are but few. So they went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. And they chased them from the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted, and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes, and fell to the earth upon his face, before the ark of the Lord, until the evening, he and the elders of Israel. And they put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over the Jordan, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to cause us to perish? Would that we had been content and dwelt beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say after that Israel hath turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it, and will compass us round, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do for thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore art thou fallen thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, yea, they have even transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, yea, they have even taken of the devoted thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, And they had even put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they are become accursed. I will not be with you anymore except you destroy the devoted thing from among you. Ah, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel. There is a devoted thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the devoted thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought near by your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come near by families, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come near by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come near man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the devoted thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel nearby their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought near the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and brought near the family of the Zerahites, man by man. And Zabdi was taken, and he brought near his household, man by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, of a truth, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoil a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and they laid them down before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the mantle, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them up unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire, and stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones, unto this day. And the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor, unto this day. Now let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, let us know that some of the scriptures that we read terrify us, because we read them not as fables, as stories that men tell as fiction, but as truth, as history. Father, thou hast told us that you, our God, are a consuming fire. Let us know that men are prone not to believe this, to reject it, but our God, we have seen in this portion that that is what you are. There is the goodness and there is the severity of God. So let us rejoice and let us give praise to thee because of thy goodness. And let us fear and be warned and turn from evil because of thy severity, because the one is as true as the other. Let us know the lessons contained in the portion that we read this night. We pray that we shall take them to heart. Let us say concerning the elders, them that sin, rebuke in the presence of all, that others may fear. And so our God, let us not have to experience it before we fear, but let us read what has happened to others, and let us be afraid. We thank you for the blessings of this day, everything that you've done for us, the material blessings, the fellowship of the people of God, the remembrance of thy Son, the preaching of the word, and now again, we desire to hear from the scriptures. So, undertake for us and bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. If you read a chapter like this, it is easy to do what the world does and to say this is all wrong. It was not Israel that sinned, it was Achan that sinned. And yet it says Israel has sinned. Well, that's the first lesson. That the body of Christ is not distinct individuals who, when they live, when they behave in a certain way, this has no effect upon anybody else. But the body of Christ is such that when one member suffers, all members suffer. And when one member is glorified, all members are glorified. We are inseparably connected with one another. And what you do affects me, and what I do affects you, whether we like it or not. Now, if we believe that, and if fathers and mothers believe what God said, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation, instead of looking at it and saying, no, this will never happen. It is like Peter, when the Savior said, I have to go to Jerusalem and be crucified. And Peter took him aside and says, Lord, be it far from thee, this shall never be unto thee. And this sentimentality to deliver the Lord Jesus from dying on the cross was satanic, because the Savior said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because man is determined to make God a God of love, who places no importance upon sin, who never will punish any wrongdoer. And this myth of hell, this is what the world wants to believe. How did they know that God was love in the first place? Oh, but they will tell you that God is love. And they will tell you about heaven. And some relative of theirs that has lived abominably, when he dies, they say, he has gone into the presence of God. But what we have to understand is that we have heaven and the love of God. And we have hell and the justice of God. And we have to believe one as strongly as the other. But you and I have that same tendency when Christ and the scriptures present the severity of God. Our God is a consuming fire. We want to take God aside and say, be it far from thee, this shall never be unto thee. But God is trying to tell us that it's true. And that all of those that are related to you, and all of those that you love, if they will not repent, they shall perish. Christ said this. He said, these perish, and if you repent not, you shall perish. And again, in John's Gospel, the Savior said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And so we have portions like this set before us to understand that God is obeyed. If faith is placed in him, even by the city and its inhabitants that are devoted to destruction, they are cursed. If they will place faith in God, God will have mercy. But if they will not, however we reject such a concept, and however we would criticize God about such an action, it has happened in the past, and it's going to happen again in the future. We have already read what happened to Jericho and what happened to Achan and his, and we have already read prophetically in Revelation chapter 20 what is going to happen to all men whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If the books are open and their name is not there as saved, preserved, protected, cleansed, all things that are necessary by the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, and if any man's name was not found there, he was cast into the lake of fire. And so you settled it in your mind, whether you secretly say to yourself, this really shall not happen, it shall happen. And if this is so, then you fathers and mothers that have children, your children are going to be destroyed. It says, thou shalt beat your child with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. But you say, I don't believe that. Well, I tell you, it is going to happen. I tell you that he told the Israelites that these things are devoted to destruction. If you take those things that are a curse and make them a part of you, you are going to be a curse. It's like this. Like when a man is keeping a prisoner, then this was seen and it was spoken. If that prisoner escapes, then your life is going to be given for the life of the prisoner that escaped. And one came and said, now this was the agreement, and the decision was, you heard what was spoken, and that penalty is going to be carried out. And so, in the future, if these things happen, and your heart is broken, because sin destroys, and if you will not believe of the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and then your life is filled with sorrow, and penalty, and death, then will you remember that I read this portion to you and told you plainly and strongly that it is so, however much you may deny it, however much you turn from it and close your eyes to it. Now, here is what we must understand. The world will look at this portion and say, what kind of God is this who orders such destruction? But at the same time, I want to know, what kind of God is this who orders such a destruction not only upon the enemies, but also upon his own children? Do you understand that? That because Achan was of the tribe of Judah, of the children of Israel, God did not say, well, my hands are tied, I will have to let him escape. And I've been telling you from 1 Peter chapter 4, it speaks of the Lord Jesus as the one who is going to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. And then he says in chapter 4, judgment must begin at the house of God. And so God is no respecter of persons. You are his child, but he will judge you. And it must begin first with the house of God. I've never forgotten the words of this woman who once said, God would never do anything like that to me. Such a strange thing. God loves me. He's crazy about me. These things would never happen to me. And yet, you read in the Old Testament what God did to those that were his. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 what God did to those that were his, that were irreverent at the Lord's Supper. And yet we say, well, God will never do this to me, but God will do it. And what are we going to say if, as I read to you in chapter 6, beware, keep yourselves from the accursed things, because if you take the accursed thing, you are going to be accursed. So now, in the light of that, do you have any sympathy with this man, Achan, who had been plainly told by God what the consequences were, that he committed the sin and suffered the consequences? I have no sympathy at all. I weep that such a thing takes place, but God had spoken it, and it's going to be true. Now, let me show you again. God not only speaks judgment upon the lost, his enemies, but he speaks it most of all upon his children. He has more requirements for you than he does for the world. And in Acts chapter 5, we have those children. Let's take it that they are children of God. We have Ananias and Sapphira. And what happened was this. They did not have to give what they had to God, but of their voluntary free will, they sold a parcel of land, a possession, and they took the money, and they pretended that every penny that was given them for that parcel of ground, they dedicated it, they devoted it to the Lord. But in reality, Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, talked the matter over and said, let us keep back part of the price They'll think that we are as devoted to God as Barnabas was and as all these other Christians are, but at the same time, we will keep back part of the money and nobody will ever know. But what happens is this. Just as God knew, it was revealed to Peter what had happened. And Ananias and then Sapphira both have an opportunity to preserve themselves. But Peter said, tell me, did you sell the land for so much money? Yes, that's exactly what we did. And we've given it all to God. Yes, we've devoted it all to God. And Peter said, how is it that Satan hath put in your heart to lie unto God? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. You've lied to the Holy Spirit. And immediately he fell down dead. Now why are you telling me that these judgments are pronounced upon the wicked, but these things will never happen to the children of God? And then his wife came in and she could have preserved herself. And he said, did you sell the land for this much money? And she said, yes, for this much money. She did not know what had gone before. And Peter said, the same thing that happened to your husband shall happen to you. And the young man that took Ananias out and buried him, Sapphira fell down dead and they took her out and buried her. So our God is a consuming fire. And our God is one who is not a man, who does not deceive. And I preached a message once, the strength of God. Because what happens is this, that you and I are weaklings, and we will not do what God tells us to do, and we will not take a stand against sin. But God is not weak. You'll find out that he's a strong God. And this loved one, whom you could not bring yourself to do what God told you to, God is going to do it. And there's not going to be any hesitation. God said, take him out, stone him, burn him with fire. It's just that simple. And so our God is a God of strength, and men shall learn that what God says is true. Now, I told you as parents, I told you as Christians, to beware and take warning, because your disobedience will affect every member of your family. And you Christians, your disobedience will affect every member of the body of Christ, and especially those that you're associated with here. This is what God would have us to see. And because of that, I'm afraid. I may want to sin, but I say, what will God do, as this man said once? He said, yes. He said, I want to sin, but I'm afraid what God will do to my wife, my children. And in like manner, this is what I'm afraid of. Suppose I sin, a grievous sin, and something happens to you like it happened unto those 36 warriors that went to fight against Ai. You say, Achan's sin caused his whole family to be destroyed. Yes, that was included. But what happened was this, that Achan, concealing his sin, exposed to danger the 3,000 men that went up, and as they were fleeing from their enemy, the enemy slew 36 men. And here is something else that I cannot understand about God. I would say to God, yes, it's hard, but I accept that you told Achan it was going to happen to him and to his children, but these are the soldiers that went to fight. You did not say it was going to happen to them. And they were innocent. They had done nothing wrong. Why did they have to suffer? David, the king of Israel, had to go through the same thing when, in his pride, he wanted to number Israel to see how many subjects he had. And the judgment of God fell not only upon David, but it fell upon Israel. And it broke David's heart, but it was too late. He said, these innocent sheep, what have they done? And now, here is Achan, and when he stands before God, he will have to answer for the blood of 36 of his brothers in Christ. Now, in what manner? What have I done that has affected you, that has broken your communion with God, that has kept back the blessing? God knows. I hope that I've done nothing. But this is what is so fearful, and this is why I'm so glad that God does not carry out such judgment day by day. If I have a chance, if you knew that you had sinned, and God said, I will give you a chance to secretly confess that sin, to forsake it, and go on about your business, and nothing will be done. That's one thing. But what happened was that Achan concealed his sin, and then God said, call the nation of Israel. We're going to test every tribe, every family, and every individual until we find out who has sinned. Now, that would be serious. You have sinned, but then I have to stand before God, and he examines my life. Well, that is what happened. But I can rejoice that even though there were so many shortcomings for the nation of Israel, in this instance, the shortcoming was only found in one. But finally, when they are one by one by one being brought before God, finally it narrows down to Achan. And then Joshua says to him, Achan, my son, tell me, what have you done? And then finally, after all of this, he says, I have sinned. And what was so grievous about the sin was that it was twofold. He saw a goodly Babylonish garment. And let me tell you about this garment. It is a garment of Shinar. And that word Shinar is the same word that is found in Genesis where they were building the Tower of Babel in Shinar. And so here is a picture of the world with all its pride and vanity, all its self-aggrandizement. And he said, I saw a garment of Shinar, a goodly Babylonish garment, and I took that. And then I saw 200 shekels of silver, and I saw a wedge of gold that was worth 50 shekels of silver, and I took that. And so think, what he wanted to do, first of all, was to take this garment and wear it and let everybody see how glorious he was. And then he coveted the silver and gold to enrich himself, but in doing so, he robbed God. It says in Malachi, well, a man robbed God. We voluntarily give to God today, but God knows what you should give. And if you do not give, you rob God. But in this case, he said, all the silver, all the gold, all the iron, these things that can abide the fire, he said, they are to come into the Lord's treasury. But instead of this gold and silver that should have gone to God, Achan kept them for himself. And instead of this picture of the world's glory and pomp and vanity and pride, this Babylonish garment that should have been burned, he preserved it. And sometime, and I wonder this, I wonder if he ever would have worn it in public because they would have asked, where did you get that garment? Why, I got it from Egypt. That's not an Egyptian garment. That is a Babylonish garment. And then he would have been exposed. It may be that he would only wear it in his own tent when his wife and children were asleep. Then he could put on that garment and go around, walk around in it in all his glory. Or if he were filled with folly, he would wear that garment and let others see it, and they would know immediately that he was wearing something that was devoted to destruction. And I'm thinking of this. I like people that dress acceptably in God's sight. And God does not want you to dress like a hobo. He does not want you to look like a pauper. But the Bible speaks of modest dress. And if I came in and someone gave me a magazine recently, it was called Vanity Fair. What an honest name, Vanity Fair. And as I was looking through it, there was an excellent article about Lindbergh's baby being kidnapped by Hoffman. And I was reading that, but to get to it, it has picture after picture of all of these worldly, vain, self-glorious people dressed up in ways that are, well, they look ridiculous to me, but evidently that's the way the world dresses. And here are these clothes that would cost thousands and thousands of dollars, and they're displayed before my eyes. And I say, thank God I was revolted by them. I said, I would never be seen in such a way, displaying myself as loving the world, the things of the world, dressed modestly and dressed to the glory of God, neatly and attractively, yes, but not that way. But the first sin was he had stolen this Babylonish garment, a garment of the world, and he was going to wear it for himself. And then he had stolen silver and he had stolen gold. I will tell you about, in simplicity, to make it easy for you, how much it was worth. The 200 shekels of silver were worth about $100, and the wedge of gold weighed a little over a pound and a half. So, think of that. Here you have $100 worth of silver, and you've got a wedge of gold in your hand that weighs about a pound and a half. And you can go through life with that gold, and gold is a beautiful thing to look upon. And silver, when it's polished, it's a beautiful thing. But what actually happened was this. I told you last week that Judas, for 30 pieces of silver, sold the Savior. He sold his own soul. And so this man, for $100 in silver, a pound and a half of gold, and a worldly garment, sacrificed himself, his wife, his sons, his daughters, and everything that he owned. And his name will ever be set forth in Scripture as accursed. Achan, the troubler of Israel. May we look at this lesson well, and may we learn it, and may we fear, and give unto God that which is rightfully his. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we humbly beseech thee that we shall take to heart these things that we read. Let us know that we are to love you with our heart and soul and mind and strength, all of our heart. And then we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we are to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, fervent in love among ourselves. And if we love our Father, we shall not do anything that shall injure one of the Church of Jesus Christ. So help us not to bring reproach. Help us not to do anything that should cause the world to look upon us and curse us and blaspheme God. Hast thou not said in the Scriptures, the name of God is blasphemed because of you among the Gentiles? So let us not be hypocrites, and let us not be so much like the world that your name is blasphemed. And let us fear, because what you say is true. But let us dedicate all that you say is to be dedicated to you, indeed. And let us dedicate our hearts as well. Deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.